This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
We talked about all sorts of interesting things, obviously health related. Magnesium levels, we've talked about sun creams, and they're not always as favourable as one would imagine. That was a little bit scary, I do have to say. We've talked about, you know, diets and things that are good for you, things that are bad for you. This is a real fascinating one that we're going to talk about, and that's blue zones.
Yes, and I thought this title by itself makes you want to delve right into it, and I'd wish that more medical topics would have such nice names.
Blue zones. Now, I've got a bit of an idea of what we're going to talk about here, because I've heard of this before, and certain Mediterranean parts of the world I've heard a more natural lifestyle, family orientated, olive oils, a glass of wine a day. It's, you know, bodes for better living and maybe living a little bit longer. But these blue zones have actually been, as far as I know, identified as areas where that does occur. So explain to us, what is a blue zone?
So a blue zone is a region in the world where people live much longer than the average people. They usually get easily above 100 years old, and they also age very healthily. The first person who, or probably also who has branded that name, is a person with the name Dan Büttner, and he and his team looked into these issues and wrote an article in National Geographic, and that was just as recent as 2005, which is not a long, you know, like a really long time ago. And they identified five regions in the world, which are all spread out all over the globe. One is in Italy, one is in Japan, one is in California, one is in Costa Rica, and another one is in Greece.
Now, I would have thought, you know, everyone's going a little bit green, or that's the way they're described these days. They would have been green zones. Why blue zones?
That's really very funny. when that team looked at the map and identified these areas, they actually drew a circle with a blue pen on the map. And since then, these areas are called blue zones.
Simple as that. Okay.
Very simple.
So what is unique about these blue zones? What are people doing there in their lifestyles to make them potentially live longer?
I think the really good aspect of this research is that the team was very aware that it is most likely not one factor that is causing these similarities. So they went out and looked for in different areas of lifestyle, and they have narrowed it down to sort of like five different lifestyle issues and traditions that in some way is very similar in between these very, very different groups. And I think that's the key, how to approach something like that, and also our modern health problems, that we should not just rely on one factor and dig deeper and deeper, but really look at a whole area of things that need to come together. And as I said, they have sort of like specified or put all these things in five different groups. And if you like, I would love to take you through that a little bit.
I'd be more than interested. Yeah. I'm sure our listeners in the Douglas Shire, because, I mean, we think of living in paradise here in the Douglas Shire, so it'd be interesting to make some comparisons of what you say here and how people live in this part of the world.
Yeah. So the first area they looked at was, or which they identified, which was really remarkable, was that all these people, they have had a very strong sense of purpose. So something to live for beyond work. And I found one quotation in regards to this group in Japan, in Okinawa, and they said that these old people, 90, 95, 100 year old, they could readily articulate the reason why they are getting up in the morning. And that really resonates with me, because in my time as a GP, I have seen so many older people for whom every day is really the same. And whether they get up and they get dressed or not does not really make a big difference for them. And I think that is really something where we already can learn something from.
I would definitely agree with that, and I have seen that very same example myself, actually with one of my grandparents. And, you know, we would go over and she'd be very lethargic, very sort of down, but by the time we left, she was, you know, had a spring in the step. So you could see her for, you know, it was a once-a-week visit over that period of a week, potentially getting very down. It's a good point. What else?
Connectivity. So they all have had a strong sense of community and togetherness. They valued their elders, and the elders, as we said, have had a very important role in their society. And another thing that really resonated with me was the fact that they have had the same friends for a lifetime. So obviously these people, they did not move houses a lot. Some of these areas are actually on small islands, which I think, you know, made it a little bit more complicated to relocate frequently during your life anyway. But to have the same friends for a lifetime was a very protective and positive factor.
And you and I would know, well, we've both moved overseas. I've moved around a bit, New Zealand, Australia, various parts. And again, it's spot on, because you sort of have to make new friends, which you often do. But making that transition can be pretty tough.
It's not the same if you make good friends with somebody at the age of 40 or 50, or if you really know somebody from way back, from your teenage years, who knows you with your, you know, first romantic problems and so forth. There's a big difference.
Indeed.
And another thing, and I think that is something that has gone through the public media here as well already, that married middle-aged people, they do have a better quality of life and they do live longer. That is here in our Australian population.
Okay.
You don't need to be married. Let me just rephrase that a little bit. You can also just be committed to a life partner.
Fair enough. Okay. Some very, I mean, you've got some more. There's some very, they're very sort of basic things, but for some reason human beings seem to lose track of basic things at times.
Yes.
They get the web becomes very tangled, doesn't it? Give us some more examples.
Yeah. So the third area was spirituality or any other form of phasing down of restoration. So some of these groups, they have had, you know, a big... Well, faith played a big role in their communities, and that can be any sort of faith, any sort of religion, where people come together. And a good example from the medical side is always if people go to church on a Sunday and they sit there and they pray, that's a very repetitive sort of experience where your fight and flight system, nervous system, is actually switching off. So you allow your vagus nerve, your restoration nerve, to get the upper hand. And it was studied that that has a lot of stress relieving effects. So is also singing. So people who sing or chant in a religious community, they have lower stress hormones. So even if you bring religion down onto these biochemical level, which obviously there's more to it, but even on the biochemical level, we can measure the positive effects of being in a community and participating in some form of regular togetherness.
As you said before, you know, just getting back to some basics, really, just some good old-fashioned basics that our grands and granddads taught us, which may have not been so silly. There's more.
Yes, there's more. With a restoration, to stick with it, this point, another important factor was that all of these people, they actually paused when they want to eat food. And that's something that really is something in our society which goes wrong, I think. So many people, they just grab a sandwich on the run, they take a little bicky here, bite into something healthy, a wrap or something like that, while they are catching the bus or while they are commuting to work or back home. And in these five areas there, food has had a very different meaning. It is not just taking in calories. It is really a time to relax, to focus on the food and to appreciate the food. And so that means that eating is more than just energy intake.
Very true. And just enjoying your food, you know. Sometimes we don't. I've eaten stuff and I thought, don't even remember really eating it. I just threw it down.
Yeah, that's the problem with eating on the run, that indeed, your brain does not really register that you already have had a good amount of your energy intake.
Okay, there is more though, and some of these basic things that we perhaps forget in the lifestyles that we live. Give us some more examples, yes. Dr. Alex, our medicine lady.
So the fourth area, and that is, I think, no surprise, is movement. Most of the centenaries, or these, you know, people over 100 years old, they are still very, very active. So they walk a lot. Most centenaries in these blue zones, they have still their own garden, which gives them exercise, it gives them purpose. It's also obviously a good source for their veggies. It means that they go out into the garden and are, you know, exposed to the vitamin D through the sun, which is important for strong bones. But they, for example, the Japanese people, when they traditionally, you know, they don't have chairs, they sit on the ground. So these 100-year-old people, they still get down to the floor and get up again in no time, 50, 60, 70 times a day. And that's something, again, I could show you 65-year-old, 70-year-old people in our community who are not able anymore to go down to the ground and get up without any help. So that's a really vast contrast.
Indeed it is. Now, one thing I noticed, and being a vegetarian, my eyes lit up, that one of the factors is generally, not completely and utterly, but generally a plant-based diet.
Yeah. So obviously the diet does play a big role. And And I left it for the last for this reason. Interestingly, what the researchers found is that the diet did vary a lot between these five different groups, which you would expect because they live in very different climatic zones and environments. But the focus in all of these groups was and is definitely on plants. A lot of plants, veggies, legumes, a lot of culinary herbs and spices, fruits, nuts and seeds. And then on top of it, and that's where they completely varied as well, small amounts of different meat or a little bit of fish. So some are eating a little bit of pork or sheep or goat, or as I said, fish. But the amount of this animal protein is comparatively small compared to the amount of the plant-based food. Obviously, in these areas, their food comes from the immediate environment. So as I said, many are cultivating a garden, and that means fresh food. And I think what we need to learn is that it doesn't seem to matter so much what kind of macronutrients we eat, which means it doesn't really matter how much energy we get from carbohydrates, from protein, from fat within a certain limit. But it seems to be more important to look at the micronutrient diversity. So these are the good particles that we find in all sorts of different plants. And they are the ones which help us to fight inflammation, to fight cancer, and to slow down the aging process. And there's a lot of research and evidence out there.
Talking about blue zones, these are areas where people generally have been found to live longer, be healthier. Just can you give us, because I think there's five particular zones, just give us those particular zones that you have. I think there's obviously Europe, but other parts of the world too.
Yeah, so we have two countries in Europe. One is Italy, so they are in an area in Sardinia. Another one is Icaria, I don't know if I pronounce it correctly, which is an isolated Greek island. Then there is an isolated island or a very small island which belongs to Japan, that's called Okinawa. Costa Rica has another isolated peninsula which is called Nicoya. And then there is a group of people who live in Loma Linda in California. They are a little bit different because they belong to, I think, the Adventist Church. Okay. So they are a very isolated group over there.
And as a bit of a summary, what advice then could you give? Since we are not in the Douglas Shire in that five there. What advice could you give as an overall summary to residents of the Douglas Shire in terms of maybe a little bit of a change of lifestyle to maybe head towards what we've been talking about?
I think a couple of these things we are in a perfect position, and I think many people already take advantage of that, and that's the gardening. Gardening can be really easy. Normally people have a little bit of space where we live here, and even if you don't have a particularly green thumb, mostly things grow. Mm. So I know that lots of people enjoy gardening. And I think we could probably just encourage people to adventure a little bit and try to grow a little bit more medicinal herbs and, you know, different varieties of veggies for themselves. But I think we do that already very well. We definitely can improve on our sense of community, and I think that's, you know, what we are trying in this in the moment in general in the Douglas Shire to really strengthen the sense of community. I think the concept of retiring at the age of 67 or something like that, I think we need to overthink that a little bit, because our life expectancy has been growing. The question really is, should we really officially retire when we are 67? That sounds to me like a thing that it takes away some of the purpose. But we not necessarily need to continue with gainful work. We can, and that would fulfill the same purpose, we can participate in lots of volunteer work. And I think that can be a very well-perceived and a very good part of your action plan as well, to find a purpose through volunteer work. What we touched on, I think we really need to work on prioritizing cooking and eating again. Don't grab and don't eat things on the run. Really come together as a family in the evening, do the shopping together, do the cooking together, enjoy, you know, a meal in the evening. And also allow during your day always a little bit time, some downtime, some restful time. You can implement that with brushing up on your social environment. But we do need to have a restful downtime.
Okay, just some basics really, but again, we sometimes lose track of those in our day-to-day life on that old treadmill that I was talking about earlier on this show today. Dr. Alex, our medicine lady, interesting one, and some interesting observations there with those blue zones, and maybe we can strive towards achieving that in our own lives more locally.
I think that's absolutely possible.